Good morning. My name is Keith, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable second quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Kenya Vargas of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Good morning, and welcome to Mega Cable second quarter conference call. I'm Kenya Vargas from iAdvise Corporate Communications, and today I'm pleased to introduce Mega Cable's management team, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, CEO, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Herrer, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the results prior to the question and answer session. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. A complete disclaimer can be reviewed in the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. Please contact us if you did not receive the information at 212-406-3691. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Mr. Yamuni, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and we are very sorry for the involuntary delay. Now I really do feel like a captain, the airline captain, you know, asking for apologies, but it was not our intent to be late. We don't know what happened, but here we are. And good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us today. I hope you have had a chance to review the report that we sent out yesterday, where you can see that once again, Megacable has delivered another quarter of strong results while building a solid foundation for the future of all our business segments. In the massive market, Megacable subscribers base grew across all our products. Broadband and telephone continue to generate solid growth of 22% and 40% respectively, far above the industry growth, while the video net adds of 15,000 this quarter puts an end to two consecutive quarters of negative growth. We feel that we are on track to a positive growth trend in this business unit. In June, we launched XView, our next-generation TV service, at a very affordable price, with a lot of features like reverse IPG, start over, cloud DVR, catch-up TV, pause and rewind, as well as a library of more than 8,000 hours available for the subscribers. This service revolutionizes the video offer and fulfills the need of new generations of viewers. We were able to launch this service with a very cost-effective set-top box, with amazing change channel speed in the retrieval of videos from the library and from the reverse IPG also. We will improve this service over time, very rapidly with more product and services, making it the video store for all types, ages, and segments of our customers. Our goal is that they will find here most of the content available anywhere. With this product, we're going mainly after satellite video customers, the new generations of viewers, and obviously to have a more satisfied and loyal customer. During the quarter, we added more than 224,000 RGUs and have surpassed 2 RGUs per unique subscriber. On the financial side, thanks to strategic decisions and a prime execution, Megacable has expanded EBITDA and net margins once again, reaching 45.2% and 25.3% respectively. This represents a 5% improvement in both lines compared to the second quarter of 2016. Evidence that the content change last year was the right decision. Although we experienced a 2% reduction in total revenues year over year, if we exclude the CFE project, we actually had a 4% revenue growth. The ability to retake growth in video subscribers should help us reach even a stronger revenue growth for the rest of the year. Moving on to the corporate segment, this is an important part of our strategy that seeks to create new revenue streams. As such, Megacable aims to become one of the largest players in this market, a mission we are certainly moving toward. One example of how we are reaching this goal is MetroCarrier closing deals with Altán to provide services for years to come. we are confident that this will support the corporate segment in the future. Together, Metrocarrier and Ola are creating valuable synergies that make those into one, these into one strong player capable of competing with anyone in the industry. Megacable continues to make smart capex investments. The 20% revenue ratio rate today has been supported by the reduction in FX rate. In the second half of the year, this will intensify. However, we'll stay within a healthy range as previously as previous years without sacrificing strategic investments. Our ability to stay one step ahead and move quickly gives us a valuable advantage over competition. Megacable remains committed to operational efficiency and customer service, all while delivering value to our investors and shareholders. During the month of May, Megacable paid a shareholder dividend at a rate of 81 cents of a peso per share, or 1.62 pesos per CPO, for a total amount of 1,391 million pesos. This represents 20% of 2016 audited EBITDA, even higher than the 15% figure stipulated in the company's dividend policy. The payment was made in one installment this past May 23rd. Thank you for your attention, and at this point, I would like to turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so they will make and make comments and provide us with additional details regarding the company's operating and financial results. Raimundo, please proceed.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. We appreciate your continued interest in Megacable. In terms of the massive market operating results, Internet continues to grow strong with net adds of 109,000 in the quarter and 436,000 year over year. This represents a 4.7% increase for the quarter and 22% rise for the year. In telephony, we had outstanding net adds of 99,000 or 8% during second quarter 17. And a total of 369,000 or 40% for the last 12 months. Our triple play strategy has been more effective than ever before, creating record high growth figures in our subscriber base. In terms of video, Megacable reached net adds of 15,000 in the quarter and a decline of 83,000 year over year. We are confident at this point that we are leaving behind two consecutive quarters of weakening subscriber numbers, and we are optimistic regarding the future plans for this product. Video Strong has been a main focus for us in the past months and is a key element in our growth strategy. Our forecast was to bring this metric down to 3% by the end of 2017, but we have already reached this milestone with June at even below that target. If we continue to implement our strategies with discipline, we are confident that churn could get even better and open possibilities for higher growth. Megacable continues to operate and grow its network based on a strategic plan. During the second quarter, we built and activated 500 new kilometers of distribution network for a total of 2,680 new kilometers activated in the last 12 months. We also upgraded by partitioning a large number of nodes, improving the architecture, increasing the bandwidth and speed that our subscribers can get, allowing us to cover the demand and continue offering the best products in the market. This past quarter, as Enrique mentioned, we successfully launched the XView platform, and so far it has obtained great subscriber acceptance. We are very confident that with this strategy, we will improve the experience of our subscribers in front of the TV set and also the option to take it with them in all their gadgets. This way of offering content access lines up with how new generation prefer to consume content. We are confident this will bring additional revenues, help us maintain video ARPU, and improve margins as we grow our RGUs. Enterprise business is gaining more and more traction with expansion to new offices and intensifying our presence and services offer. We are building solid base for incremental business. We are making great progress with Altan to interconnect hundreds of towers create metro rings, interconnectors, POCs, and more to help them prepare and provide services and cover more than 30% of the Mexican population by March 2018. Altán is an example of corporate market revenue opportunities that we have. Now, Luis Zetter will give you an update on the financials. Luis?
Thank you, Raimundo. I would like to go to Megacable financial results for the second quarter, and right after that, we will be open for your questions. In the second quarter of 2017, revenue experienced negative growth of 2% compared to the same period of 2016, reaching 4,130 million. This was mainly caused by the reduction in video revenues, 8%, and the 248 million pesos for the CFC project in 2016 in the second quarter. On the massive market, despite an increase of around 3% in our tariffs, video revenues experienced negative growth of 8%, caused by the discounts from bundling services, the reduction in average subscribers, and the mix favoring less expensive packages. Broadband and telephony services revenue grew 15% each, and the total cable operations grew 3%. In the enterprise segment, revenue declined 19% compared to the second quarter of 2016, as revenues from CFE's projects in that period accounted for the mentioned amount of 248 million. Excluding this, enterprise segment grew 20%, with Metrocarrier and NOLA growing both at a rate of 30%. Cost of services decreasing 19% compared to second quarter 2016. In cable operations, cost fell 7%, mainly from savings in programming costs. The rest came from the CFE project cost incurred in second quarter of 2016, accounting for 215 million pesos. SG&A grew 1% from the second quarter 16 to the second quarter 17, a mixed combination of high inflation and a reduction in volumes in the operations, but growing at a lower rate than the increase of RGUs. Consolidated EBITDA grew 10% in the first quarter of 2017 compared to the same period in 2016, reaching 1,867 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 45.2%, while adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose again almost 3% during the same period to total 1,779 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 47.7%, one of the best in the industry. Net income during the second quarter of 2017 totaled 1,036 million pesos, which is 26% growth compared to the same period in 2016. The difference with the EBITDA growth of 10% comes primarily from an improvement on net financing costs supported by a lower FX rate in the quarter. Megacable's net debt reached 1,573 million pesos, as mentioned in the report. We closed a bank loan for 1,700 million pesos at TIIE plus 30 basis points and matching the maturity of the existing bank loan in July 2019. During the quarter, we also paid down a $30 million short-term loan we have with a local bank. The resulting net debt ratio was 0.21 times EBITDA, which remains one of the lowest leverage levels in the industry. At the same time, EBITDA to interest coverage was 25.22 times at the end of this period. Concerning CAPEX, during the second quarter, Megacable invested 811 million pesos. Most of these resources were allocated towards the improvement and modernization of our cable network and the purchase of fixed assets. We expect CAPEX to increase in the second half of the year as it tends to in previous years, with an additional CAPEX for the Altan project in the months to come. That concludes our presentation. We will now be happy to take your questions. Operator, please begin with the Q&A session.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You can remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, star and one for your questions. We'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue. We'll take our first question from Alejandro Gallostra with BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you very much for the call. I'd like to better understand what are the economics of the XView service, specifically if it has any additional cost for you and how much you charge for this service. And perhaps if you could give us additional color on how many customers subscribe to this service and what are your expectations for the future.
Yes, Alejandro, the XView service has a price subscriber of around 50 pesos with tax included. That's around 42 pesos without tax on that part. And it's in addition to what we have, it's targeted to existing subscribers. We don't sell separate from what we have. It's an improvement of the video platform that we have. And it's been a great success so far. It's been for a short period of time. We launched it at the end of the quarter on that one. So far, we have around 40,000 subscribers with the service in the beginning of the product that we have. So we are very excited about that. As we declare, we expect around 500,000 for the first year to get to that amount of subscribers. And we see as the way that we can refresh the video services for the new generations that want to see product on a multi-platform and where they want, what they want, and when they want it. So we're very excited. It's working really, really good. And finally, we launched to the market. We launched in four cities to start with. Now we have it in around 10 cities. But as I said, it was launched at the very last part of the third quarter. But finally, we can tell all of you guys that the XView is a reality, and we are in the process for the second semester of improving the number of subscribers that we have on that platform, therefore providing a better slightly increasing ARPU with that part and a much more retainable subscriber with the better products that we have as of today. I don't know if that answered your question, Alejandro.
Yes, thank you very much, Raimundo. So you basically said, you mentioned 500,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Is that correct?
500.
Is that what you expect?
No, in 1 year.
In 1 year.
12 months.
Yeah, so 12 months from
12 months from
now.
Actually from now.
You expect 500,000 subscribers within the next 12 months. Okay.
Right.
What's the margin of this service, Raimundo?
Well, what we can tell you is that it's a product that we want to retain, has a lower margin than what we have. Of course, we have content contracts that don't allow me to tell you the exact margin that the product has. It is contributing to the company's margin, but it doesn't have the same margin that we have on the video, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you. So basically that leads me to my second question, because you had a great margin in this second quarter. Congratulations for that. But I'm wondering if this is sustainable going forward, since in the first quarter you also had the programming savings, but we didn't see such an expansion in margin in the first quarter. So perhaps you could walk us through about the differences between these two quarters, since you had these programming savings in both of them. And usually margins in the second quarter aren't usually the strongest. We usually see that in the first quarter. So if you could give us additional information or color about what made the second quarter that strong in terms of margins, would be very helpful.
Sure. Sure, Sandro. Yes, let me tell you that we foresee a sustainable margin, rounding 45, 44 for the rest of the year. We expect the same trend as you saw in this quarter. Basically, as you saw, the enterprise business have lower margins than the residential business. And a lot of that has to do with the reduction in terms of, if you want to call it that way, in the CFE project, because the margin there was really low. So it is helping, and it's not only, the reason on the programming cost. The programming cost just helped us a lot, and as you saw, we improved also in cable operations our margin, and basically you can see that going in that direction as well for the rest of the year.
So basically, since you mentioned in the past that you want to increase your efforts in terms of increasing your corporate segment service in Mexico City in the future. So should we expect this margin to come down again in the future?
We don't see that happening. We actually have run our figures for the next at least 6 months, and we think that we are kind of confident on that level.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Tyrus Bookman with Park West. Please go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering if you could walk us through what you expect video subscriber growth to look like as you go out the rest of the year, and whether the new XView product, how much that helps. I think you talked a little bit, but that 500 doesn't seem like incremental subs, so maybe it just helps churn, or maybe it helps ARPU. But I'd love to understand your net ad thoughts going forward.
Yes, as we said, we expect video subscribers to continue to grow. We feel that those two consecutive quarters that we have on the decline has already passed by. The good symptom that we have is that all our strategies regarding credit restriction, more selective sales coming to the market from that part have finally paying off, reducing the churn. As you say, this quarter we got to the milestone of 3.0% churn in video, and that's an average for the quarter. So Jun has a lower churn than 3%. We're very, very excited about that. So if we take the churn of June, which we believe we should keep it and slightly improve it to the end of the year, we're very confident that the increase in ARPU will continue to be over the two consecutive quarters, and hopefully to continue to be part of the growth of the company. We have no doubt about that part. Regarding the XView, as I explained to Alejandro, we're targeting 500,000 for the next 12 months. It will help us to keep video ARPU. The problem with video ARPU is not the mix of subscribers, whether we have a lower package and a higher package, which of course it does contribute, but it's more that every time that we increase our RGUs per unique subscriber, let's say we're growing internet at 20% or 20 and telephony around 25% on that part, we increase the RGUs per unique subscriber, and we charge a discount in the package to the video ARPU. So it looks like video ARPU is going 8% down, only because it's not made because we lost subscriber or because we're losing the ARPU of subscriber. It's also because we charge video with a discount on the price because we increase the RGU units. So XView will contribute, of course, to keep the ARPU the way it is, and we will continue to have a mixture of lower ARPU because of the discount we make on internet and that. It will also help us to get to that churn
rate that we're expecting to have by December to continue to lower a few. That for sure, but at the end, we will have 500,000 within 12 months over a base of around 3 million subscribers. So getting to a lower churn comes from a very, very efficient operation in terms of who we sell and how we retain subscribers with the right product to offer. That will be our view.
Okay. So can I ask one thing on the XU? I was just doing some math. If you get 500 subs and it adds $50, does that basically add, what, 4 or 5% to ARPU on the video side?
Well, that's 50% less taxes. That's 40
pesos. Per
50
that's
pesos.
That's 40 pesos.
Okay. So it'll be a little bit less, but I mean, it seems like it's quite additive on the whole company's video ARPU.
It's less than that. The percentage of increase in the ARPU of video is not 5%. It's less than that. Maybe it's 1.5% at the end. You know, once we get this going, it's not that much. This is really a product that will help us satisfy better the subscriber and go after subscribers that are with other platforms like the satellite platforms. That's the main goal for that.
Got it.
If you think,
then, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sir.
No. You were about to say something.
No, well, the number that you add, those 500,000 in 12 months, with the ramp up, that will give you 200,000 average for the period. So if you multiply that by 40 and that by 12, that gives you around 100 million pesos, which is what you are adding to the whole revenue, less whatever we provide as a retention. That's what Enrique is saying. We're forecasting pretty much that will bring another 8 million in the first 12 months.
Got it. And then back to net
adds. It's more on the side of getting to the churn and getting that slightly. The right price or the right hit on the ARPU of video will come massively as we penetrate. We're penetrating with a very low rate of 50 pesos. That's only 40 pesos without tax. You know, it's really, really cheap what we're doing right there. But we're providing that in order to keep and improve our subscriber and efficiency on the operation, and hopefully 2018 will bring a better increase in rates of those products as customers get used to getting the value proposition that we're giving to them.
Got it. And then one last thing on the video ads. Have you guys seen, I haven't actually gone through the math, but do you expect to see an acceleration in the gross ads, or is it just that the net ads are better because the churn is lower?
It's a little bit of both, and that's a very good question. What we have, when we do a restricted sales policy or we focus into not selling in some problem economic areas, which is what we did with all the sales force, it takes a while for the sales force to get used to the new promotion, to the new areas, and to the new packages that we're providing. We feel we passed that, so we look into slightly increasing growth at slightly, and of course the reduction of the churn, the disconnections that we have, if you take the consideration of that, let's say 2.7, 2.6, 2.8 by the end of the year, whatever that number comes to that, you know, it will provide to us the growth in video because of that mixture in between those two. We don't see getting to an unproportional gross add because that will come back again with higher churn and higher commission and higher drop cost. We look into slightly increasing gross add, but a lot of us depends on the decrease on churn, which we are very happy to tell you. And as you saw, we will reach that 3% that we were expecting by the end of the year. We went down from 3.8 to 3.4 to 3.0 in this quarter. And of course, June was way better than what it was for the average of the quarter. So that is how we're getting to the increasing subscriber by the next quarters to come.
Got it. And so what do you think that means for your net adds for the year in video? I think previously you talked about 5, which seemed like a real long shot. What are you guys thinking now?
Well, we think that it's going to be a positive growth, higher than what we have in the second quarter. That's for sure. And that's what we would like to tell you because we've been very efficient in the past of telling how many and very, very exact on that part. And we don't want to influence all of you guys on that part. We want to give you the message that we're improving. You know how our churn is getting down and we're getting to that numbers. So it is going to be positive. You are right. It is not going to get to that number, which is optimistic. That one we all can agree on that. But what we do can tell you is that it's going to be higher than second quarter for the next 2 quarters, way higher than what we have there, and will continue to provide also a higher revenue in the massive market than what we have right now.
Got it. Great. And then real quick, I'm sorry, I've asked a lot of questions.
We were waiting for your questions. Don't worry.
This improvement in churn, does that do anything from a capital intensity standpoint?
Well, we have less expenses in terms of the drop that we're capitalizing on that part because of the no, actually, no, Sergio. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. No, Titus, I don't think it does affect that much. It does give us better margin because of the lower volume that we have there. And in terms of CapEx, what we have on CapEx is a lower CapEx because of lower CP when we don't have any growth, you know. But you know, we expect that to increase in the second quarter because we expect to grow video subscribers. So thinking about your question, no, I don't think so. What it helps a lot is in terms of OPEX.
Yeah, it helps in OPEX and all. Well, it helps in both, but it's not significant in the churn helps us because we pay less commissions. You know, we have less OPEX, and obviously everything that helps us to have less labor, which that implies when you have less churn, will help us to improve margins.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Those two will be. It will be very, very hard to tell you whether if we have less churn, we'll lose less CPs on the street because we have some uncollectible CPs. But it's marginal. It is really marginal. So the more I think about your question, the more I believe Sean will go more or straight to the margin and the office. And that's part of what Luis was telling you about how we improve second quarter margins compared to first quarter. It's not only programming or CFE. It's also because the less volume of operation that we have in terms of drop costs, commissions, and everything else regarding to that. So the less churn we have in the company, we're very strategic on that part. We are very, very clear that will improve our margin.
Great. Thank you.
We'll take our next call question from Masha Khan with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on a good set of results. Wanted to ask you about the loan you took out. I mean, you have debt maturing in 2019 that's still, you know, 2 years away. Why are you raising more debt? And do we expect net gross debt to come down or shall we expect it to continue to increase? Do you have M&A targets in mind?
Well, yeah, net debt of Megacable has been always, you know, with a capital structure with low leverage and continue to be that way. Basically, what we are doing is we wanted to switch from a U.S. dollar loan that we have into Mexican pesos because of the exchange rate that is really running these days. And also get ready for the capital investments for the second quarter and for the second half of the year and for the beginning of next year. So we are really just putting in a better capital structure of the company. We think that the leverage times EBITDA that we have, the net debt, will slightly go up in the future as we think that in a phased way we will be converting our capital structure into a more leveraged company. Not sure
okay.
If that answers your question.
More leverage for maybe for CapEx or for M&A?
Yep. Basically for CapEx. Of course, if there's a good opportunity on a company that we could acquire an M&A, that will speed up the debt. And we will be, we have a balance sheet that can really help us to do any M&A and even then have low level of leverage compared to the industry or other companies.
Thank you. I have another question. I've seen American Mobile has been upgrading the speed of the packages they offer or migrating people to fiber. Has it affected your competitive environment?
Apparently no. We you can see the performance of our broadband product. We have improved our offering speeds. Actually, we are providing more speeds at the same price for the subscribers, and we don't see they do improve their American Mobile. They do improve their speeds in certain selected areas and selected cities, but obviously our product is better in speed and price than what they are offering.
Complementing what Enrique told you, we're very aware of that campaign, and we've been expecting that, and they've been doing that in the past years, stronger in the last quarter on that part. It still is not in a massive area that we have, but we're prepared to that. That's why we did over the quarter, we improved also the speed from 10 megabits to 20 megabits and continued to raise the speed of the lower segments to a higher and higher. Part of what we set in our CapEx is splitting all our network and the nodes and preparing that. We are capable right now of increasing that. We did increase speeds and the CapEx still remains in the same level that we have even below for you guys. So even though we are ready and prepared and concerned about competition, and what Enrique told you was that regardless of that, we raise broadband still at a pace of 15% to 20% year over year when the market doesn't grow that much. So that means we continue to take market share in the broadband segment. We're very, very efficient on that part. We have a very solid churn and really a good relation between gross adds and the other one. And more than that, we were very efficient to bundle that with telephony. So right now, the growth of telephony goes pretty much, is almost one-to-one to the growth of broadband. So I think we have a very, very efficient strategy against Infinitum or American Mobile in that part. Remember that we bundled that with video that also. And the XView platform, it is also a killer app altogether. We're really, really, really prepared to continue to lower the churn on that part and provide growth in the massive market pressure.
Great. Thanks. I appreciate it.
We'll take our next question from Carlos Legarreta from GBM. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning. I'm trying to understand on the cable operations. Say for the first semester of the year, I'm seeing that you guys have an increase of the three products, basically. I mean, the entire cable operation is growing by 3%, 3.2% year over year. So that means, I think, to reach the 10% guidance in revenues, that means you either expect an acceleration in the second quarter, in the second half of the year. And I guess I don't see that happening in terms of, I mean, if you're retaining subscribers by perhaps offering promotions or lowering them to cheaper packages, I guess I don't see how that rate could improve. If you could give us further color on that, that would be helpful, please.
Sure, Carlos. Thanks for your question. And yes, we we think that the number that we mentioned was now we see that as optimistic. We think that we'll not be reaching in cable operations that 10% that you are establishing. The you know both the Televisa impact that we have in the past and also the reduction in cable subscribers due to the economic situation will be hitting us back, and we will of course improve our revenues for the rest of the year, but it's not feasible from any point of view that we will reach the figures. So we think that we will end up with a lower number, and of course it will be better than what we saw so far in the first half. But no, difficulty we'll get to the levels that you were expecting. So maybe in the range of 4 to 6, 4 to 6% on by the end of the year.
Remember that we to adjust this side, Carlos. And yeah, you're right. I mean, our numbers at the beginning of the guidance, we did not expect the first quarter and second quarter to change our strategy when we fell. That the marketing strategy that we have was not related to programming a content on that part, was more related to the credit restriction that we have to do to the sales that we were bringing from our subscribers. We have to slow down and focus more on the reduction of the churn. In that part, we took the hit with video. Video provides 8% lower ARPU for the massive market so far. And in order to recover or get to those rates, we need to improve video subscribers. And that's something we did in the second quarter. And as I told Tyrus, we see that we're going to increase subscriber video by third quarter and fourth quarter. So looking into how it looks, what Luis is telling you around 4 to 5% is much more realistic. It depends on the growth of massive, and also on corporate. Some of you has been asking and concerned about the growth of corporate without the CFE project. We're very happy that without the CFE, both Ola Innovation and MetroCarrier both continue to provide growth of 30% and above year over year without the CFE projects in terms of Ola. So we proved that we were able to look for other projects that will continue to bring more revenue to the company. You know, we are also, we gave you the example of the Altan, which is the Red Compartida that we have. That revenue will not come right away. It is a long-term engagement, but can give you also an idea of what the possibility of Megacable growing the corporate and meeting the guidance and the goals that we have from the other segment, which is not the massive that we have. So it is not what we forecast at the beginning, but it is going to be higher than what we have in that part, and we're happy to get back on track on revenues, EBITDA, and subscribers. EBITDA looks pretty good, by the way.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's obviously the second part of the question, I mean, the corporate market. But before we move on to that, just to be clear, you are not increasing prices in line with what Televisa is doing, both in cable and Sky, or you are?
What we do, you're talking about the massive market, increasing price, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. What we have done, we did in the last quarter and in the first semester, we increased prices to certain packages, like we said before. We look to increase also certain packages. We don't increase everything because each of the different segments behave different, and each of the different products has a different maturity and a different competition. What we can tell you is that increase in price offset part of the revenue mix that we have, or subscriber mix that we have in each product, and also compensate in video for the discount of internet and telephony. So, yeah, we're looking to increase rates for the second semester slightly, and it will be in certain packages.
Okay. Okay, that's very clear. Thank you. And just to elaborate more on the corporate side of the equation, of course you have the uneasy comparable of the CFE contract. But you recently had this inauguration of the Mexico City for Ola and Metrocarrier, the center. So I'm wondering if you do expect to continue this growing at double digits, the corporate segment, excluding the CFE contract, of course, is that within reason to assume a double digit rate, say between 20 to 30%, which means I think you're gaining market share in this market, right?
We are gaining market share because we came from a very low base of the corporate segment. We believe we can keep those growths at around 32 and above.
And above, yeah.
30 to 40, hopefully 50% in those two business units, Ola, MetroCard, and probably MCM on that part, MCM a little bit below that part. And all the CapEx that we have, and all the, of course, the margins of those products are lower, but are not lower than the CFE project. You know, the CFE project has a very low margin on that part and was a really one-time project for Ola. We agreed to take it. It was a right decision, provide growth of EBITDA, less margin, but growth of EBITDA. The rest of the project, we believe and we expect to be higher. You know, that's what we expect. We might be wrong, but always look to growth EBITDA on the corporate segment and try to split for you guys to understand that the massive has the higher revenue, the higher margin in the industry, pretty much, and now more with the very efficient OPEX that we have on the volume. And then corporate will move regarding each project. You know, if we look into a project like the CPE that will provide Ola with a great revenue, even though it has a lower margin, we might take it. We don't expect that to happen in the future, but it might be.
Right. That's perfect. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Carlos.
We'll take our next question from Arturo Langa with Itaú BBA.
Yes, good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis. Thank you for taking my question. I was just wondering, first, if you could give us some color on the potential or how you see the potential decision on the Supreme Court on zero interconnection rates, and if you could remind us back maybe in 2012, before the telecom reform, how much interconnection cost represented for you, and if that could impact maybe, fixed line telephony growth, or, you know, how you think about that. And then second, maybe if you could just summarize briefly the CapEx items, the guidance items, you know, revenues, EBITDA, subscriber growth, and maybe CapEx growth for the corporate segment for the year. Maybe you're already given that separately, but if you could just summarize it, it would be very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, well, this is Enrique. Regarding the ruling of the court that is pending on the interconnection rates, what I really firmly believe is that this is a state matter. It's not a matter of only the court or only the Congress or only the IFT, the regulator, or the companies. It's a matter of national interest. We think that the decision is going to be the right decision, and we think it's not going to be as bad as the some media expects, and it's not going to be also as good as we expect. But I think it's going to be a fair decision. It's a decision that will have to take into consideration all the expectations that the telecom reform made when it was taken out or it was approved by the Congress. And we think that it's going to be, we don't have a really big impact on that if it's if at the end court decides that it's going to be retracted, you know, what I mean is going backwards. We don't think that it's going to happen, though. We think that it's going to, it's not going to be retracted, because it would be a really bad, even though a lot of people think that it's a legal thing to do. This is not only a legal matter. And the impact for us would be that bad anyway. But we think that it's not going to be catastrophic for anyone. It's going to be something that we will have to address. And we're not very worried about it. Just take that into consideration. Even though we don't have any inside information of what's going to happen, the logic tells us that this is a state matter. It's not a matter of the court or of one company or just one segment. It's a matter of state. It's a matter of national interest. It's going to be the decision should take into consideration a lot of things other than just the arguments that America Mobile is giving.
Okay.
And regarding the other question, I'll let Raimundo answer that.
Yeah, the other one, Arturo, you were asking pretty much about some of the guidance that we already provide regarding the corporate segment. We do expect pretty much that the revenue will decrease because of the CSE project, slightly between a 5-10%. The good thing is that all our both companies are improving the sales of the revenues without that project, like I said, about 30 and above percent. So we will be below what we sold in the massive market, around 5-10%.
Okay.
In the corporate, just make it clear. Just in the corporate, not on the massive.
No, in the massive.
The massive has an improvement in revenue
four to six percent
compared to last year. That's what we expect.
Okay. And so, for example, last quarter you provided, for consolidated top line around 10% and 12% for consolidated EBITDA. Has that changed then?
Yeah, we will
maintain around that
on the EBITDA.
On the EBITDA
going down a little bit, but on revenues, yes, of course, it is lower than.
I would think that we are pretty much in the same line of EBITDA in the margin, in the same ratio. It's helping us reduction of cost, in turn is helping us on reach that. Yeah.
Effects and everything. So EBITDA should be around that.
Yeah, EBITDA is fine.
EBITDA is fine.
Okay, and the CapEx around 25% of sales?
You can assume that, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Andres Coella with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. We are observing in Telmex's webpage today that they are doubling the speed of the broadband package in the entry plan of 389 pesos per month to 20 megabytes from 10. So I'm just wondering to confirm with you that your entry package already offers 20 megabytes per second, so Telmex is just aligning with your own speeds. So that would be my first question. And my second question is regarding the new XView product. Just to make sure, if I'm a broadband, I only hire broadband from Megacable, I'm a naked broadband customer, can I add XView to my package without hiring pay TV? Meaning, can I use XView as a substitute for traditional pay TV?
Okay. Yes, Andres, we're aware on the offer that Telmex has, and we can tell you straight that yes, we're offering in our entry package that competes to that at 20 megabits. So we don't have a problem with the 20 megabits. We offer 50, at 100. We offer also in certain areas lower speeds, but very strategic. But our commercial offer that you can see on the street starts with 20 megabits. Our back-to-school offer goes with 20 megabits on that part. Also with video and package and that, we have packages that goes for 349 to 449 to whatever. So if you add video on top of what they are paying for broadband and telephony, our offer continues to be the best offer, both in cost and in terms of product on that part. Regarding the XView, if you don't have video with us, even though you have broadband, you don't have access to the video platform. The great advantage of our XView platform is that we have the support of our content partners in the past, meaning Viacom, Liberty, or Discovery, ESPN, Fox, Disney, HBO, all of them. And in order to have access to that content, they gotta have also paid for the video. The way we see it is that XView is an upgrade of the video platform that has the great advantage to be used also in multiple devices in the home and with some content outside the home. But we are much more target, more than compete as an OTT, that is something that we might do in the future. It's not our goal to do it right now. Our goal is to reduce churn, increase ARPU on the video segment, and make the right bundle, and be adding the best product on the OTT platforms that we can and we have in the future. We have right now HBO Go and Fox Plus. We are not against having any other product that we might have in the set-top box on the OTT, and that will be our strategy. Maybe later in time or more in time, we'll sell the XView without TV. That's something that we don't want to do right now.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
You're welcome, Andrew.
As a reminder, it's star and one for questions. We'll go next to Juan Pablo Alba with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking my call. Congratulations on the results. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. First of all, regarding the ARPUs that we can expect for the second half, I understand that XView can be a contributor to that, also the credit controls, some price increases, and maybe some cuts in the promotions. But do you feel how much can we expect to ARPUs to recover, especially in broadband and cable?
Yes, Juan Pablo. I was looking at Luis to say one for that. Whoever I can do that. ARPUs, like we say, we expect that in the unique ARPU to remain pretty much in video and broadband, and slightly to decrease in telephony as we continue to bundle telephony with broadband at a much more aggressive price. The ARPU of telephony decreasing doesn't concern us too much because at the end it does provide an increase in revenue and an increase in margins because it has a high margin. So that's something that we will continue to do in that part. The unit ARPU will improve slightly too, because of the RUs per unit subscriber. So that's pretty much what you can expect for the second half on that part.
Okay, perfect. My second question is regarding competition, the competitive environment, because I understand that as of now, basically Megacable doesn't have that much overlap with Televisa. My question is that eventually when you guys overlap with them, is there any particular strategy on how to take on them with a competitor that has triple play in the same, and can compete like in the same terms?
I didn't get the last part, Juan Pablo. If there is an strategy,
the overall competitive advantage, because I understand that you have a competitive advantage with American Mobile in certain regions because of the speeds. How do you plan competing, for example, with Sky when they get the triple play, or Televisa when they overlap with your regions, or how that part works out in the commercial side?
Well, we already have competition in all our markets. We compete with Televisa in several markets already for some years in the past. We proved to be very efficient in that. We have a good results in where we are competing. We compete to Axtel, we compete to Total Play, we have also small operators that compete to us, we have Telmex, we have Sky, and we have Dish. I don't see that those markets in other countries as competitive as the ones that we have. We have the right expertise and network to provide better speeds, and now with ESBU we have a great product. Whether we continue to grow, we built 2,600 kilometers of last mile to improve our footprint in that area. We are growing in areas where Televisa is right now, but the strategy is to grow where it makes sense. You know, we don't know, or we do know, that building right now areas where penetration of pay TV is already 57%, 58%, with five companies competing to each other, might not be the right idea to put our capex on the part. So that's something that we don't have right now. We do have overlap to Televisa on the corporate, and we have that in Monterrey, Mexico, Ciudad Juarez, and some areas on that part, and we will continue to have because it does make sense on that area. It's less capex than you put, and you get to specific subscribers. We have Metro Carrerola and MCM doing that part, and we will continue to improve, and that's where we want to focus. Right now, we don't see moving into markets already saturated on that part. But if they come over here on that, we're prepared to compete. We won't do that much difference for us. We have the right product, the right price, and churn going down, regardless whether we have Infinitum improving speed or we have Total Play building our areas. Our churn went down, and finally we have subscribers going up in video and broadband and telephony. So no, we won't change much of what we're doing right now, and yes, we're prepared for that.
Yes, this is Enrique. Our success is not based in that in the lack of competition. We have a lot of competition. We compete with three satellite companies for video, and also for video we compete in a lot of markets with other operators, cable operators, Total Play, Axtel, sometimes with Televisa. So we have a lot of competition in pay TV. We have competition in broadband with Telmex. We have competition in telephony with Telmex and also in broadband with Total Play, Axtel, Televisa, other cable operators. I mean, competition is big here in Mexico. Our success is based on this, in the cost structure that we have, in the management that we have, in the hands-on that we have as a company. And we intend to keep it that way. We never put our guard at ease. We're always alert, and we will continue having a very eye on the cost structure that we have. That's why we took the decision of changing our programming offer, and it has resulted in a very good result. And we will continue being a company that is committed with the results to our shareholders and the quality to our subscribers. Thank you very much for your question.
Thank you very much. That was very, very clear. Thank you for the answer.
And it appears we have no further questions. I'll turn the floor back to Mr. Yamuni for closing comments.
Thank you very much. And sorry for the involuntary delay we had. And we look forward to any more questions you have. It was a pleasure to discuss our results with all of you today, and to be able to review the beginning of what seems to be a very challenging but solid year. Nevertheless, we are confident that we are in a very strong position to face any tests that come our way and continue on the path to growth. Thank you for your patience and your interest in Megacable. Please contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any more questions or concerns regarding Megacable. We'll be happy to review any questions you may have, and have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.